Hello, welcome to the Dot Metaverse podcast. I'm Ido Siegel, CEO of Touchcast. We're leading the metaverse into the enterprise realm. Join us every week as we explore key themes and ideas surrounding the metaverse. Today we have a very exciting guest, Evelyn Mora, who is the CEO and founder of Digital Village.
I like the idea of testing things in the metaverse, proving the concepts in the metaverse, and then scaling them in the physical world.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hey, Ido. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really excited to hear about your adventure. Why don't we start maybe a bit of background? What were your prior adventures? What kind of led you to starting Digital Village?
Yeah, definitely. So my studies are around visual arts, product design and development. I have also a degree in computer science, robotics, and I'm also the founder of Helsinki Fashion Week. The past decade, I've been working as a strategy consultant for public and private sectors. So I'm specialized in sustainability, Gen Zers, and millennials. And in 2020, we produced the world's first 3D fashion week with Helsinki Fashion Week. And that's how Digital Village was born, very much inspired by the Eco Village concept, where I built a physical village completely circular from utilizing the water from the Baltic Sea, clarifying it for drinking purposes, and powering the whole village with renewable energy sources, collaborating with Tesla and other companies that were fit to that concept. And yeah, one thing led to another, and here we are today.
Wonderful. And so tell us a bit about Digital Village.
So I always tend to say that even I have a title of inventor, I don't feel like we have invented anything new when it comes to the metaverse, right? I think it's basically, especially from Digital Village's perspective, it's a recomposition of social media, e-commerce, and gaming. So what we do differently is essentially we give our users agency and tools to own their data, monetize their activities and times in these spaces, and really build the environments and experiences that they want to go, you know, they enjoy.
And can you maybe, given that it's in the fashion space, I would imagine that there's some interface with the different fashion houses. And like, how does that develop? How does that work for you?
So, you know, I think in the Web3 space, it's such a early stages for the metaverse as well. Having had a long, relatively long to my age, experience within the fashion industry, I understand and can prioritize the needs of the fashion brands. So one of the things that we basically do in Digital Village, so we call it a multiverse, we develop metaverses for these different brands, and we give them tools to manage their metaverses independently. We understand these brands, what they're all about, their identity, their history, you know. So that's why essentially all the way from high definition 3D visuals to community management tools to live events and high definition avatars and, you know, all the in-game tools that we license for these brands is something that they actually feel comfortable, you know, moving forward with and exploring the Web3 space.
Is the predominant audience for the brands that you're working with a female audience, or is it mixed? Is it equal? Like, what's your kind of demographic?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say that it depends completely of the brand, right? So is the brand essentially, like, if you tell me, like, Guerlain, for example, one of the makeup and perfume brands of LVMH, what is their demographics? I would say that it's a mid-aged women, and particularly from Asia. And then if you say Gucci, I would say something else. So it depends completely on the brand. But I think that the mentality and lifestyle that the consumers of these brands share, it's something that essentially connects these brands with one another. And that's why it makes so much sense for them to be in a multiverse where they have their independent metaverses, which they are fully in control of. However, they are essentially interoperable by nature with one another, where, for instance, you go to the Gucci metaverse and you do transactions there, and then you go to the Louis Vuitton metaverse and vice versa. You know, you're all the time active and can socialize with different communities. And then both these metaverses are interconnected with the Digital Village open world.
So Evelyn, how do you handle identity? Are the users using a wallet like MetaMask, or do they have a Web2 identity, just username, password, or how do you approach that? I'm just interested in the friction that you might have with this type of audience and getting them into the experience.
So the current technology as it is, it's not intuitive. So what we aim to do with Digital Village is to become wallet and blockchain agnostic. We do support MetaMask. We do also support Web2 signups. And we've adapted Venli wallet system. But still today, you know, in terms of like seeing 500,000 Gen Zers downloading a wallet and really utilizing crypto and you know, their crypto wallets in general, is something that we need to come up with a technology that is intuitive and easy, you know, like Apple Pay. So I don't think we are there yet, but we will be. I mean, this is something that we have prioritized in Digital Village for a really long time, and we're developing tools to tackle this issue. But when it comes to our sort of crypto native community, which consists of mainly millennial men, they find it really easy to join Digital Village. But you know, we don't want to make it a mandatory element to create your wallet, essentially. You can just come into the metaverse, join as a guest and experience and participate into different events and, you know, leave.
Right, right. I the reason I ask is exactly that. I can see that, you know, all of us on this journey to make the metaverse experience more mainstream, it has to do with it being accessible to broader demographics, right? So when you have like a male dominant gaming, kind of kids that grew up playing games basically in the metaverse, it's very natural for them. But how do we expand the scope of bringing that value to people that maybe have not grown up that way and are not used to interacting with information this way? What have you discovered on your experience with that kind of, let's say, more female oriented, fashion aware fan and the ability to get them into the experience and remove some of those hurdles because they're not necessarily, it's not native to them.
I mean, when we talk about sustainability, which is a sweet spot for me, I think accessibility and inclusivity are really big topics there and mm-hmm. a big focus of Digital Village. When we talk about accessibility, it's not necessarily only the user experience or demographics alone, but it's about hardware. It's about security, data, you know, educating the audiences. So if we want to be truly inclusive and if we want to, and I mean, we need to be truly inclusive from hardware perspective, from, you know, internet perspective, like Wi-Fi perspective, we need to really sort of do all the nitty gritty small things to be able to actually, you know, be as inclusive as possible. So we don't have in Digital Village, I mean, yes, I've been working in the past decade focusing on Gen Zers and millennials, but we need to think about all the generations and how the metaverse will, in my opinion, grow into, you know, IoT and melt into our physical worlds. That's really my vision. And I keep that in mind when I create things in the metaverse, that how would that look in VR? How would that look in AR? And how would that look if, you know, you would reflect the space in your own house? So I don't like to think about the metaverse in a one-dimensional way. And I don't want to, and I haven't in my past career focused on sustainability only from one perspective, because if you want to tackle sustainability, it's a 360 approach, and that's why it's difficult.
Right. Can you point to maybe some of the biggest barriers that you're currently challenged with that you're really excited about trying to solve for in that regard? Like how to, like for me, for example, at TouchCast, it's diversity is very important to us. And we're very proud that we're a 50-50 organization in terms of we're over 200 people and a half are male, half female. And it doesn't happen by accident in a tech company. It, as you know, it's a big problem. And I'm kind of asking the question through that lens of where do you see the big challenges and how can we address them to make it more accessible, more tactically? Like, what can we do to embrace a broader universe of audience that is more diverse?
Well, I think for starters, we need to sort of sign off from the hype a little bit mm-hmm. because I think that there is so much vision, which are, you know, some of the visions out there are really beautiful. But there are still visions, you know. I think what we need to do is back those visions with functional, adaptable, intuitive technology that can actually bring value to individuals' lives. So I think that, you know, the whole ideology of Web3 is, you know, I see Web3 as a almost like a new opportunity for the humanity to tackle all sorts of challenges from sustainability, environmental, economical, cultural, social, you know, I can go on and on and on. But I think that what we need to do is really stop miseducating people where, you know, there is an ideology that, you know, if you get into NFTs and crypto, you're going to get rich very quickly. You know, I don't like the idea that this has become some sort of like an opportunistic element. I like the idea of testing things in the metaverse, proving the concepts in the metaverse, and then scaling them in the physical world. It's almost like tangible research where you have this test and learn approach where you can prove that something, you know, whether it's about construction or economy or even social situation, architecture, you can prove these concepts to be valid and functional in the metaverse and scale them into the physical world in a sustainable way. And I think one thing that I feel like most people are ignoring is the transition. Whether we talk about 5G, for example, where, you know, if you want to transition to 5G or have more sustainable data centers where we save water and energy, we need to think about how would that look like, but most importantly, test it and validate it and then plan very carefully that transition, because transitioning into something new is always, in my opinion, the most challenging part. And I think the same thing goes with onboarding non-technical people into the Web3 space.
Right. When you talk about bringing it into the physical world, can you maybe elaborate a bit? Like, what's an example experience you've had of learning and then bringing it into the physical world?
For starters, I think when we talk about digital twins, right, when it comes to products and product supply chains of different brands, I think there is a lot we can do to tackle sustainability related challenges within the supply chain of the company by utilizing 3D technologies and Web3 tools in general, creating different kinds of shopping experiences, selling different kinds of products and services that would enable us to dematerialize and reduce our raw material consumption and still deliver value to the end consumer. So I think that there is currently this ideology where everyone's saying that, you know, 3D design from the sampling perspective in the fashion industry in particular is a huge thing. It is obviously very important, but it's not just that. So I would say that what we are doing in Digital Village, we're looking at it from a more broad perspective, that it's not just an NFT with a, you know, of a sneaker that has a physical twin, but it's more than that, you know, how this sneaker was made and how many of these sneakers were actually supplied. And, you know, there are new business models that enable us to come up with more sustainable strategies, more sustainable supply chains without having to make less money. So I don't think that making money, being profitable and sustainable to an extreme level cancel each other out. So that's still something that I have to prove globally. And that's what I'm focused on.
You mentioned earlier that you can test something in the metaverse and then kind of learn from that and then apply it in the physical world. What's an example of that?
So for instance, let's take a car brand, right? An automobile industry. So if you want to transition from electric cars to electric cars or to hydrogen cars, you have to change your plant. Right? It's a construction related change. It's essentially machinery related change. So you can essentially build that space in the metaverse, test it with the community, calculate all the little details and elements and plan for it in a sustainable way. So you can validate the plan and execute on the data that you essentially produce in the metaverse, rather than just making a plan and basing it on a research that can be very sort of wide and not focused in this particular case. And you can do a lot of mistakes that can end up in a lot of waste, lost resources, time, and just be inefficient. That's one thing that I could give you as an example. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What gets you excited about in terms of where things are going with Digital Village? Where do you see it in like a couple of years?
Well, in a couple of years, we definitely want to achieve a unicorn status. And that's because we have achieved finally our goal, which is making the general public aware of how important and valuable their data is and how important it is for their mental and even physical well-being to be very selective on in which kind of platforms they spend time on and how these different platforms, whether it's a game or a social media platform, can affect negatively in a large way in their lives, in their physical lives. So I just want to really emphasize how our online and offline lifestyles are not that disconnected as we perceive. And in fact, how we behave online has and reflects back to our physical lives, whether it's from consumption perspective, from emotional and mental perspective, or physical perspective. So I think these are things that are underestimated. And we are currently, unfortunately, I see that a lot, that, the dysfunctional ways of why our current physical world is so unsustainable in several different ways is copy-pasted into the Web3 space, because it's maybe easier for people to, communicate or prove success from those old methods. So what I'm looking forward to is, again, proving our vision, backing it with data, and showing and people actually feeling the impact that Digital Village can create, not only from economical perspective, but from social perspective, from cultural perspective, and from environmental perspective. These are all measurable elements, and I'm looking forward to, that's actually going to happen in the next 6 months, where we're going to launch some of our initiatives and projects that we've been working on in the past year, where we will be generating that data, where we can prove that, this way is better than that way for several different reasons. And, publishing that data and know-how openly to the industry and encouraging them to join us, essentially, so that we can, saving the planet or making a world a better place is not a one-man job. We need to collaborate and we need everybody on board. So proving that something can be sustainable and impactful yet profitable is essentially what we are doing.
That sounds very exciting. And for people that want to join you on that journey, how can they learn more about the project? Is there stuff that's already live that they can experience, or is it coming up soon? Like what should our listeners do if they're interested in your project?
Yeah, so our open worlds are online. They're accessible through Mac and Windows. And by early September, we will have mobile access with the iPhone and Android. We have just recently launched the first ever media metaverse of Women's Wear Daily. So that's also online. So from digitalvillage.io, or most importantly, joining our Discord, because we are creating a lot of different community events and happenings. And we are first always informing our community on Discord. So that's the most safe and secure place to join first and jump into different platforms from there.
So if people go to digitalvillage.io, I'm looking at it right now. I see a bunch of logos on the bottom. How would they navigate to one of these metaverses?
So you have to essentially sign up.
Okay.
Or basically sign in.
Yep.
And then you should have a banner there that says to join the metaverse. So you download the launcher, which upgrades and updates automatically. You download it once to your device, and then you can enter it anytime. So essentially what you can do there, you can purchase and sell digital assets and export them into your Infinity Room, which is a private space for each user where you hold your 3D NFT assets. Obviously, NFTs are in your wallet, but the 3D versions of those files are in your Infinity Room, and you can utilize them whether they are avatars or fashion items, GIFs or videos or JPEGs. And you can from there go through different portals into the Women's Wear Daily world, or into our open world, the sanctuary, and other worlds that we have created. And you can meet other people, chat through audio or world chat.
That's wonderful. So I assume this is a Unity-based platform, based on what you're saying?
No. We have built this on Unreal Engine fully. Okay. But we have built a lot of, like, for example, 3D Asset Converter and other tools internally, which we actually license to our clients to really empower our vision and bring that experience to the next level.
Wonderful. So that's the highest fidelity possible, obviously, with Unreal. I guess the only drawback is you need to install an application, right?
Yeah. I mean, we will be web-based in about a month and a half. So that's something we are working on. But, you know, there is the visual quality element that we want to really keep up. We don't want to sacrifice the visual quality when we upgrade into more accessible platforms.
Okay, so you're actually going to also do pixel streaming, basically, from the cloud?
Well, we already have pixel streaming available. So we have a toolkit for our clients, and they can do pixel streaming if they want to for events. Mm-hmm. But we have another type of web-based solution in mind that we're executing right now. I mean, just recently, I've hired our CTO. It was something that I was really looking forward to, someone that I was really looking forward to hiring. His name is actually Gianluca Di Novi, and he quit his job in Harvard. He was there in the tech lab of Harvard as a professor for 12 years, and he was basically building game engine VR and like 3D skin tissues when I was still like learning ABC. So he's really someone that comes up with tools and solutions with our incredible engineering team. I'm saying incredible, I mean it, because I'm in shock how I managed to build this kind of team. I got really lucky, I guess. And I was patient, you know, I didn't just hire the first CTO that came by. I interviewed 90 people, and then I found the right person for the job. So with his leadership, with our engineering team, we are creating custom tools that can keep up our, you know, main vision, which is high definition quality accessibility, and giving our users agency to, you know, going from there, essentially.
That's wonderful. I think the harder you work, the luckier you get. I love that quote. So it's not, I'm sure it's not a coincidence you found this great team. In this world, these worlds that you're creating, are people also buying physical goods, or is it only NFT type transactions?
So we have a physical or digital collection coming up very soon. For now, it's been only digital. We essentially have experiences that we've connected to these worlds. We are also selling land. We did just our initial whitelisted land drop. I guess it was a month ago. So we sold out 50 land parcels to community members. And I'm also lucky because we have a really amazing community that have amazing visions of how they want to actually utilize their worlds. And we're about to release our DV coin. And so, like, just to answer your question, we have a digital collection coming up with a very particular vision, again, focusing on the sustainability elements of why should you have even a digital twin? It's really important to address that element, which we're going to do with this next drop.
And so I guess it really helps to have an organic, passionate community, specifically in times like we've endured recently in the kind of Web3 world with this winter. How has that impacted you? Like, how are you seeing the prospects through this new lens of the current climate in this market?
So personally, I find it super fascinating. It was totally expected. We are doing fiat on-ramp, expecting is that it's a really perfect time to redefine, you know, come up with a different type of NFT, maybe not call it an NFT, come up with new types of smart contracts that can be more impactful and beneficial, more sustainable, perhaps. So I find it like something, you know, not surprising. I think we're going to go up. It's going to get hot in the NFT and crypto scene very soon. But then we're going to do another dive. So I don't think it's a stable place. But I do think that we are, you know, going to, I believe in crypto. I think crypto will be something that even governments will adapt. They will use it for geopolitical reasons. They will use it to mobilize their citizens to tackle climate change as a community. I think it's a really valuable tool to implement into different systems. And I think that's coming. I mean, we are aiming for that. I mean, me having a consultancy background with the public sector, I have, you know, I have information that the government is very open-minded, especially in the Nordics, to adapting these new technologies. I think they're basically just taking their time to figuring out all the elements to it, regulating the industry in the right way, and then adapting right types of, you know, token systems.
Well, thank you. I think you have to be an optimist, to be an entrepreneur, right? It's really the only way to change the world. And it's refreshing to hear the optimism in the eye of the storm right now. I know that this does tend to dampen innovation, making fundraising harder, et cetera. This is the only, through these hardships many times, that's how these diamonds get created, and the flight to quality and projects that are really have a soul and meaning, like what you're pursuing, I think endure and prosper. So thanks for taking the time today to share your journey with our listeners. And I'm sure there'll be some amazing experiences coming out of collaboration with these amazing fashion houses and other things that you will pursue. And I'm for one, looking forward to experiencing them. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure speaking with you. And you know, maybe I've been watching too much Jurassic Park, but creation is about sheer will. If we want to make it happen, we will make it happen.
I totally agree. Thank you so much.
Start your .metaverse journey today. You can claim your .metaverse Web3 domain for free right now at touchcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Subscribe today to stay up to date with our latest episodes.